This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Pick Six with Molly and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Haw. Pick Six with Molly and Haw starts now.
The Bears drafted eight players over the weekend, so how many of them can you project starting in the Bears playoff game? Playoffs, and when might that be?
Okay, so I think this is the way you got to look at every draft, and maybe the way that Ryan Poles and his staff would look at this one. Because you're drafting guys, as I said before the draft, you're going in and you want, ideally you went into this draft wanting three or four starters and envisioning those guys to be starters on the team that won a NFC championship at Soldier Field on the way to a Super Bowl, and they would be starting in a Super Bowl. And I look at this list of draft picks, and that's what I was looking at. I was trying to envision, could I see Shamar Turner starting for the Bears defensive line in a Super Bowl? And I just don't know that I do. I want to, and I know that's probably, but I think he's a depth piece on a pretty good defensive line. Ozzie Tripillo, well, is he going to be starting in my mind as I envision this Super Bowl caliber?
When are they in the Super Bowl?
Well, if they're doing it right, 3 years. If you're in the playoffs, 2 years. You're going to have a winning record next year. That's the progression. You got to look at this as a 3 to 5 year plan. You got your rookie contract to take advantage of in the next 3 to 5 years. I really believe that Colston Loveland could be a starter on a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I think that Luther Burden III could be a Pro Bowl caliber player on a playoff team in 3 years or so. Two years or so. He's on that trajectory. And that's it, gang. I want to see more. I do. And if Ryan Poles were to call in and we'd put him on hold and he'd be listening to this, he'd be ticked off. Because I want to see more than two starters on a playoff team. And maybe I'm underestimating Ozzie Tripillo. And I think that our guy Clave Harbor told us on the Pro Football Show, big Pro Football Show yesterday, that Ozzie Tripillo's got good tape and he's got a bright future. And I hope that that is right. I just don't know what side of the ball he's going to play on. So that makes projections harder to come by. But I'm saying two starters and you're in the playoffs in 2 years. And beyond that, I think sounds a little bit overly optimistic.
Well, yesterday we also predicted how many games the Bears would win next year. We always like to laugh at my predictions. So I had them at 10.
Dustin.
That was yesterday.
Hold on. You were going on and on yesterday about the schedule. It's so hard. It's such a hard schedule, especially on the road and the division. Bah, bah, bah. It's such a hard schedule. I got 10 wins.
That was
Dustin,
great.
What?
That was great.
They're going undefeated at home.
They won five games last year.
It's going to be a slog. I only got him at 10. Oh, my gosh.
So there will be two starters next year in the wild card game when they're playing in the playoffs. Two. Both they'll be in two tight end set. No 12 personnel. They'll be in two tight end set. So Colston Loveland will be considered a starter opposite his guy Cole Kmet, and Luther Burden III, I think, immediately starts for the Bears if you want to get into starting at the slot position. So two starters this fall, winter, when the Bears are playing in the wild card game.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
The Bears drafted 8 players. Of the 8 players, I think you first have to answer this question and say, when are they going to the playoffs?
What's your answer?
My answer is, it better be next year. Not this upcoming season. Not this upcoming season. Okay. It better be the next year. Because with what Ben Johnson wants to do, with Caleb Williams' projection as the number one overall pick, you better make the playoffs, not this year, but next year.
Yeah.
And if you make it this year, holy smokes, here we go. Okay? If in 2 years, right, let's say, at the end of the next, not next season, the next season, 4 of those players could be starting. The top 4. I think Colson Loveland and Luther Burden were all there. Ozzie Trapillo, what is the future of Braxton Jones? Is Ozzie Trapillo going to be better on the left side, or is Ozzie Trapillo maybe a really good right tackle and you could maybe try moving Darnell Wright to the left side?
Well, that's what I wonder.
Maybe.
Is Ozzie Trapillo a better right tackle than Braxton Jones?
We're going to find out. And Shamar Turner, I'm high on this guy. I like the way he describes the way he plays. I like using the word violent when you talk about a defensive tackle. And I think his upside is really high. He's got to rein it in a teensy, teensy bit, because we don't want any penalties. But I like Shamar Turner. I have 4 of the Bears' 8 picks starting.
Okay.
And maybe Kyle Manungai.
Oh, that would be good. That'd be a great story.
The second question, 100%.
All right, moving on to the second question. How do you think the Bears' second-round draft pick, Ozzie Trapillo, fits in best? Something we'll ask his Boston College head coach, Bill O'Brien, at 7:45. And if you had to make an educated guess, how will the Bears' offensive line line up in week number 1?
I think Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle week 1.
Thank you, doctor.
That's my projection. He's going to be ready for training camp. Right? They say he's going to be
ready. Was that a question mark or exclamation point?
I think he's going to be ready for the season, is what I've heard.
Okay.
I think Braxton Jones is your left tackle week 1. How long he stays there will be to be determined. I think Ozzie Trapillo is right now going to be a very good potential backup swing tackle for you. He has experience playing on the left side. Clay Harbor said he watched Ozzie play left tackle at the Senior Bowl. He played on both sides of the offensive line, and he said he looked, you know, good. He said he looked good there. We'll find out more, obviously, as we watch him throughout the spring and the summer. But this guy is going to get a lot of reps, as Ben Johnson said, because Braxton Jones is not going to be participating in the spring. So you're going to know what you have in Ozzie Trapillo before week 1. I still believe Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle week 1.
Well, if you believe in the four-letter networks NFL depth charts, and I know we had Ben Johnson saying that right now that there is no depth chart except other than QB1. Basically, everybody's fighting for a position. Okay, Ben. But very interesting. So we're just going to read what the four-letter network has. For left tackle, Braxton Jones, Joe Tooney as the left guard, Drew Dahlman as the center, Jonah Jackson as the right guard. I think the interior is no doubt, unless there's an injury, obviously, those are your 3 starters. But according to the four-letter network, Chicago Bears NFL depth chart, as of 6:10 on the 29th day of April, Ozzie Trapillo is your starting right tackle, and Darnell Wright is backing him up.
Wow. Wait a second. I thought you were going to tell me that Darnell Wright was on the left side.
No. That's what the four-letter network has. So Darnell Wright has found himself a seat on the bench.
That's definitely a mistake by somebody.
He was arguably their best offensive player last year.
Correct. Like, so it's very interesting. Here's the question. I want to know, is the NFL now drafting tackles and saying, okay, tackle is a premium position, so we're drafting you for the premium position? And I think in today's NFL, right tackle is just as valuable as left tackle. They move guys all over. There is no more that I am a right defensive end or I am a left defensive end. They move the linemen all over the place. So it's not that left tackle and the blind side and that whole thing. I think that ship has sailed. But I wonder now if tackles are becoming failed tackles are now starting guards.
Well, not at 6'8", 330, you're not, I don't think.
Well, if you're not,
I don't think you're a 6'8 guard.
If you're not pulling a bunch, if you're not pulling a bunch, maybe the center's doing the pulling.
If you want, you ever sit behind somebody who's 6'8", that's like Caleb Williams' view of downfield if you have a 6'8 guard.
Well, here's why I'm asking. Here's why I'm bringing this up. Because of Karan Amagaji.
Oh,
so now we've got, but I mean, do the Bears have, are the Bears investing two high round picks in two swing tackles? I'm just saying.
I agree with
that.
Are
one of those guys? Are one of those two guys eventually going to replace Joe Tooney, and then eventually replace the right guard Jonah Jackson?
Well, I don't
think Newman.
Maybe Luke Newman. I doubt that the sixth round pick would do that. I think it's too early to talk about Jonah Jackson's replacement.
Yeah.
But Joe Tooney is probably in line for an extension. Then you'll get a better idea about when he'll be replaced.
And how long of an extension?
Probably two or three years, perhaps. Yeah. But I think when you talk about...
I'm just curious about that.
The offensive line, if Ben Johnson truly believes that there are no jobs that have been assigned or awarded yet, and his depth chart is blank, then I would consider strongly moving Darnell Wright to the left side. Braxton Jones isn't going to be ready until the season, and if all this chemistry and these reps matter in the offseason as much as they do to first-year head coaches and first-year staffs as they come together, I'd be very curious to know why you wouldn't move Darnell Wright to the left tackle if he is your most talented offensive lineman.
He's been so good on the right side. Don't you think that he's been playing in the NFL for 2 years on the right side? You want to just... Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
If you're telling me the offensive line isn't broken, I'm going to show you some game tape that begs to differ. I think that you do have somebody who can play capably on the right side, but if your offensive line is better with him at left tackle and you drafted somebody in the second round to play right tackle, who is a right tackle, then if those are your best five, and we always hear the best five will play, then I think that's the way you would want to go into your off-season portion of the program. So
Ryan Poles left that door open.
He did leave that open. So I'm not convinced that he wouldn't be better on the right side as a starter. Move Darnell Wright to the left side and see how that looks just for the off-season. If that doesn't work, then when Braxton Jones gets healthy, Braxton Jones can be your left tackle, and you move Darnell Wright back to the right side. So interesting combination. But if I were to say right now, week one, probably the safest way to go is Braxton Jones will be in the lineup, even though I would probably try other options up until that point.
Yeah. Next question.
What was your lasting impression of new Bears tight end Colston Loveland, who made his first appearance Friday at Hallis Hall? What are reasonable expectations for Loveland in terms of his role in the Bears offense and overall catches? Can you rank the Bears weapons?
Okay, so I love this story about Colston Loveland. It's worth revisiting. We haven't heard Ruthie's take on it on the radio yet. I love the whole small-town kid comes to big city and tries to make things work. I love that narrative. He's also as humble as you could find for a first-round draft pick, and he's all about work ethic. I think there's a lot to like about Colston Loveland, and I think he's going to be a dynamic addition to the passing game. Realistically, 60 catches. 60 catches is a realistic target for Colston Loveland. And 60 catches, and what would that be, about 750, 800 yards? I think he should be a threat in the red zone, 6 to 8 touchdowns. I want to see him be a big part of this passing game. How big? Well, if you're starting to rank targets, DJ Moore's got to be your number one. As long as he's here, he's your number one. I know there's no depth chart, but there is a pecking order, and he's at the top of it. I think Roma Dunze deservedly is number two. Colston Loveland is number three. Luther Burden III is number four. And then Cole Kmet is the fifth option in the passing game. And those are your weapons. DeAndre Swift ranks in there somewhere, but I think he's part of your running game. And the running back to be named later might be after that.
Boy, this is really an interesting debate. We don't consider Caleb Williams a weapon, right?
No.
It's what he's playing with.
He's a point guard.
It's his hand of cards. You know, David, I think if the Bears are going to be a 10-win team like I predicted, maybe even 11 if I get really crazy, DeAndre Swift's got to be a much bigger weapon. You got him like six. You've got Loveland ahead of him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think from a you know, DJ Moore is supposed to be that guy, and we like DJ Moore a ton. But I think, like, Luther Burden III might be – I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid on this guy. Like, he might be the guy because these other people are covered, and he's a matchup nightmare potentially. Same thing with the number 10 pick. I think 45 catches for Loveland.
I'd be disappointed in 45.
Well, there's so many options. I mean,
they're going to run more plays. They're going to have more.
Here's the other reason. I think Ben Johnson's not lying to us. I think he wants to run the ball a little bit more. So I think about 45 catches for the first year. That wouldn't be a bad thing. As long as they're winning, I don't care, right? But I think they're all in, like, this pocket. But I think the guy who's going to be better than a lot of people think. I am high on Luther Burden III.
I am high on Colson Loveland. My lasting impression for Colson Loveland, obviously I'm a Michigan grad. Everyone knows by now. I love this guy. I am so excited that he's a Bear. No one really predicted that he would go before Tyler Warren, except maybe us on the Big Pro Football Show.
Yes, we did.
I mean, hello, watch us. Okay, it's a really, really exciting pick. This is a no-nonsense, small-town kid, salt of the earth. Honestly, went from the small town to the big house. He went to the big house, and he was a star. And he was a huge part of that national championship run. And I love that he battled through injury and
Brandon,
a down Michigan
Brandon,
year.
Can we some hail to the victors in the background, please?
Yeah, please. It'll get me going. I am very, very excited that Colson Loveland is a Bear. I also want to make sure that I make this very clear.
Okay.
I think he is going to make Cole Kmet better. Will that mean that Cole Kmet is going to have more catches? I only have 90 seconds to do this.
Time.
No, I think Cole Kmet is going. This is going to open up opportunities for Cole Kmet. I think it's going to push him. I think it's going to make him better. I don't think he's necessarily going to have more targets, more catches, but I think he's going to be a very, very good player. And I think the two of them are going to be incredibly dynamic. I have a lot to say here because I did a little research, guys. Do you know what Sam Laporta, what his rookie year looked like?
What it looked like?
He had 1,000 snaps his rookie year, 86 catches. His rookie year, 10 touchdowns.
Yikes!
And he was in 84% of the offensive snaps.
Dustin, would you like to redo your prediction?
I think that Colson Loveland should have 70% of that.
Okay.
Because I think there are so many weapons for this Bears team, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to learn a lot about Colson Loveland as a blocker as well. That being said, here's my ranking of the weapons.
Okay.
DJ Moore, you're number one.
Yep.
It's got to be your number one.
Right.
Rome Odunze, number two. Colson Loveland is number three. I have Cole Kmet as number four.
I like that.
Luther Burden, you're a rookie. I think you're going to have opportunities, but I think you're five. Then I have DeAndre Swift. Last but not least, Kyle Manungai.
You're consistent.
Can I ask this question? You know a lot, obviously.
That is the voice of Connor Bedard. How disappointing is it that the Blackhawks' number one target to be their head coach, David Carlie, say that right?
Carl.
Yep. Of Denver, withdrew from consideration and appears to be staying in college. What now for the Hawks?
Oh, this is me. This is interesting. I think it's very telling that a man who is a winner in college isn't ready and has won in college, isn't ready to take that next step, let alone with an iconic NHL Original Six franchise in a beautiful city, one of the greatest hockey towns in the country. That, to me, is surprising. It's disappointing. If he goes to another NHL team, that's going to be very worrisome, because why didn't he want to come here?
Bingo.
Now, where do they go from here? To me, obviously, Mike Sullivan is the Pittsburgh coach.
Whew.
Who was fired. That feels like probably the most qualified name.
That's ambitious.
That's out there.
That's very ambitious.
Other than that, they
agreed to mutually walk away from each other.
Agreed to mutually walk away. Mm-hmm. Parting of ways. We've all heard that one before. Other than that, it's kind of a hodgepodge of other names, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a hodgepodge.
I want to stay consistent on brand for me. This makes absolutely, positively no sense. According to the Google machine, he makes a little bit over $700,000 a year to coach at Denver. I would love to make $700,000 a year, but that's not happening. He would make at least $1 million a year to coach.
Oh my gosh!
Right? I know you. I know you've got something to report.
No, I want to be. I want to be consistent here. But yeah.
But that's, my point is, if he goes to another NHL team, okay, maybe. But that says something about you as an organization that he doesn't. And what does that say about Connor Bedard? Like, are we way over our skis on this guy? Like, wouldn't he want to get connected to one of the top young talents
one would think,
in this league?
One would think.
So what's going on? What is the hang up? And again, if the Blackhawks come to you first, as far as we know, and offer you this opportunity, why would you wait around? Are you afraid? Are you afraid your game doesn't translate to the big boy league to be a pro?
We need to know why David Carl said no. We want to know if he's going to turn down every NHL offer. The offer that the Hawks made to David Carl was lucrative. Trying to nail down specifics, but because I think what I initially was told, if that is the number, it seems very high for somebody who's never coached in the NHL. But let's just say multi-year, multi-million is as far as I want to go right now this morning. But think big. And they were thinking big. And they were swinging big. And I applaud them for it. But they swung and they missed. I don't know why they missed. I don't know if it was just one of those things. You're never going to pry somebody away from a good, comfortable spot. But I do know it doesn't matter. What matters is what they do now. How do they make this job appealing again? How do they make this franchise a destination place for them again? How do they put the gravitas back in hockey operations? Because it's missing. And you can kid yourself that it's there, and you can fool yourself that the Hawks still is an elite destination for a head coach. I don't know that that's true. And if it were, you would have David Carl announcing at a press conference what he plans to do about Connor Bedard and all the talent that is in the pipeline, because there's talent galore. So what does the list look like now? Well, Jay Woodcroft from the Oilers past, he's probably a name you're going to hear a lot. Mike Sullivan would be a home run, but he's probably going to look at the Rangers and maybe even Boston, where he could coach his son-in-law. Rick Tocchet is somebody who is out there. These are names you have heard before, guys who are proven. He's coming from Vancouver. Todd Nelson has some AHL experience. And then if they want to go back to the college route, Jay Pandolfo from Boston U would be worth a look. But Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner have their work cut out for them. And Kyle Davidson has to make this happen. So this is a very good job, and I hope they get a very qualified candidate.
Different question on a different topic.
That is the voice of Mike Florio. He's with you guys at 8:44 this morning. What kind of an impact do you expect Gage Workman to have over on the South Side for the Sox after the Cubs traded the Rule 5 pick for cash considerations? And if you're the White Sox, why not bring up Tim Elko, first baseman, 9 home runs, 23 games at AAA before tonight's contest?
All right, we've got to get fast at getting through these, but I'll say this. Gage Workman, if he wants to say he wants to beat the Cubs, great. He needs to be motivated to beat everybody. He's an unproven major leaguer, and the Cubs did give him an opportunity before Dustin rolls his eyes again. So, yeah, start him. Play him. Tim Elko, come on up. Get on the next flight from Charlotte to Chicago. Get here before tonight's first pitch against the Brewers, because the Brew Crew is ready to go, and you should be in the lineup. Why are you waiting on a guy who has 9 home runs in 23 games? Get these guys both in the lineup. The Sox are not hitting. They need to hit.
Going Vaughn. Gage, really, Gage? Really, that's your response, is that you're looking forward to beating the Cubs? Look forward to not making an error at third base. look forward to try to win a series over at the rate, okay? Win a series, and then get back to me about how you want to beat the Cubs, Gage Workman.
Gage Workman has been around the Cubs. He's been around winning culture. That's something I think the White Sox clubhouse could benefit from. I also think they could benefit from bringing up Tim Elko. I saw he's 5 home runs since Thursday.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think it is.
5 home runs since Thursday? What are we waiting for? Man, give the fans that might not be true.
I gotta double check that. Okay. It might be true.
That would be fun at the rate.
What was the other part of that question?
Voice of John Heyman. He is here at 9 a.m. What are you hoping for as the Cubs take on the Pirates in Pittsburgh? As good as the offense is, who needs to pick it up?
Cubs got to win this series if they want to maintain sort of what they're doing. Who needs to pick it up? Dansby Swanson.
Thank you. Thank you.
He's batting 181, I think I saw.
Yeah.
Come on, offense. Gotta have it all. All the batters, all the defense, gotta do it all.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we learned about how he oils up his glove and oils up all his teammates' glove as they get away on getaway day or the last. Really?
That's what Ron Washington did.
And does he use that
That's
same?
What Wash did.
Does he use that same oil in his hair? I know he's got the great locks, great hair. Everybody at my house loves Dansby Swanson's hair.
It's good hair.
So Dansby Swanson needs to pick it up. On our hot and not list on the Fly the W podcast, Michael Bush also made it to the not list, not hot. PCA needs to continue to do what he does so that the afternoon show doesn't call for him to be benched. Put your foot on the throat of this division. As well as the Cubs have done against the toughest schedule in baseball, they're only one game lead over the Reds. The Brewers are now three games back. So go White Sox and try to win a series, Gage Workman. Go ahead, White Sox. Win the series against the Brewers.
Tim Elko, 5 home runs since Thursday. Good research, Ruthie. She knows her White Sox minor leagues. You must work for CHSN.
You must have seen me on the pre- and post-game show filling in for Chuck with Ozzy.
Right, that's right.
Had a lot of research to do.
Mrs. White Sox over there. All right, so I think that, yes, Dansby Swanson's a good one. I want to see somebody at third base take hold of that job. I want to see John Birdie maybe get a chance. Maybe he can be the guy that steals all the bases and all of they need to answer that question at third base. It is a lingering one. They can go into Pittsburgh. It's a three-game series. They need to win 2 out of 3. You can't lose series to the Pirates. And you better win the first two. Because if you're seeing Paul Skenes on Thursday night, good luck. Or Thursday afternoon, good luck. Bring it!
I am thrilled that they are facing
Paul Skenes. I am disappointed. I wish someone would skip him. Why would you want to face Paul Skenes?
Because those are the types of pitchers you got to learn how to beat, okay?
Yeah, I think exactly after coming out of the series, you lose 2 out of 3. You want to win series. So I think you want to win 2 out of 3. And by the way, 3-1-2, thanks for talking the whole 45 seconds about the White Sox. Come on, that's 45 seconds more than they probably deserve today.
How about the 815? Gage Workman already beat the Cubs 2 or 3 times with his fielding.
You can blame me.
Thank you, Bill and Joliet.
You can blame me for going too long on my Colson Loveland. I went way too long.
That's okay.